Well, have you ever wondered whether growing up poor somehow endowed you with greater character? I mean, we've got books and we got TV, movies and films all about rag to riches stories, and those are the kinds of stories often that inspire us. And occasionally we hear poverty romanticized as though somehow growing up poor makes us better people. It's an interesting thought, but you know, in reality, neither poverty nor plenty are by themselves things that would guarantee good character. In fact, too often, poverty crushes the human spirit. It robs us of hope. It makes us strive to the hope that makes us strive to succeed. As to someone who had experienced both poverty and riches, put it this way. He says, "I've been rich and I've been poor. Being rich is a lot better." Well, no one certainly in the Bible was any more a person experiencing hard times than this impoverished woman from our gospel reading, who Jesus noticed as she dropped in two copper coins into the temple treasury box. And if you remember, in those days, widows really had a hard way to go. Without a husband, she was certainly dependent on the whims of the society. There's an interesting painting of this impoverished woman by the artist A.D. Rahm that pictures her dropping in the two copper coins with one hand and holding on to the hand of a little child with the other. Now, does that surprise you? Because I think it may. Many of us, and I have to admit I am one of them, have always just naturally pictured this woman as an elderly, an old woman, there giving her offering. But the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, she may have been a young woman with not only herself to feed, but maybe a small child or children as well. And if that's the case, then it certainly casts a different light, a different picture on this story. And you can almost think about the reasonable arguments that she could have run through her mind as she looked at her two coins. Well, you know, you've got children to think of. Or don't they say charity begins at home? And besides, what difference is this little pittance of a couple of coins going to make alongside all those large gifts that were given earlier? In fact, just let those who can afford it, let them be the ones to give. I mean, I've got obligations in my own household. And besides that, I'm just a poor widow. Nobody expects me to give anything anyway. But the fact is that she chose to give all that she had. Jesus saw her make her tiny offering and instantly understood the powerful significance of what she had done. And he pointed out her example to his disciples as an example of personal, real sacrifice. And he noticed that she had contributed all that she had to live on. She didn't announce it, but Jesus knew what she had given. And he praised her for what she'd done. But I think it's important to also notice that he did not in any way condemn those who gave sizable or larger offerings. He just simply pointed out that the meaning of the gift is not measured by the amount, but is what is left after the gift is made. So, you know, in terms of buying power, the widow's offering was insignificant, but the devotion that motivated her was phenomenal. That kind of devotion has done more to help meet the needs of people throughout the centuries than cash alone could ever do. But this morning, let's not kid ourselves. Without money, a lot of helpful things that have been done for people could never have been accomplished. Money has very real power, and it's able to command goods and services to be where people need them and to be where it's needed most. But neither should we be naive. Money, even when administered by compassionate and devoted people, sometimes does end up lining the pockets of people who don't need it. So we know that money has the power to do good, but it also has the power to buy corruption and pain. The gift the widow gave to the temple treasury was not just two small copper coins. It was the gift of devotion and faith. By giving to the temple the money that she had, the cost of her family's next meal, she was expressing a devotion to God that certainly is quite rare. In his book about the life of Mother Teresa, Malcolm Muggeridge tells about a man from Australia who was so impressed with her work with the poorest of the poor that he made a rather large donation to her ministry. But he did more than that. What he said was, "Money's outside of me. I want to give something of me." And so he stayed for a while. And he shaved the sick men. And he helped out around the hospital. And he spent time talking and working with the sick and the dying, sharing words of encouragement and cheer. You see, the people whom Jesus saw making substantial contributions of cash were not wrong. But what they were giving when it came out of a larger abundance was, as the Australian said, outside of them. They had plenty left over. The widow, who gave until she had nothing left, was giving herself. So, who do we identify with in this story? Those who give or gave out of their abundance? The woman who gave sacrificially? Or maybe the people who held back and gave nothing at all? But from another perspective, also try to think about this story from the point of view of the temple administrators. You know, we're gathered here today as a church, and some of us are involved in leadership and administration. So thinking about the story from that perspective is not really too hard. You know, as a church, we cannot function without money, at least not very long. We can't do our part in in keeping missionaries in many areas of the world. We'd have a pretty hard time without air conditioning, right? Or heat in a couple of weeks. We can't do much local mission work without money. And we need those substantial gifts like Jesus saw other people placing in the treasury. But we also need the widow's gift. We need the kind of devotion that is self-giving, that is costly in the deeper sense of the word. We need the kind of devotion to God's causes that make people willing to give themselves. Otherwise, the money is no good. We need the kind of devotion of a Jean Stassel. Jean Stassel is a woman who has a college education. She did her graduate work at Alaska University. And one of the most consuming efforts of her life these days is the volunteer work that she does with Alaska's James Lee Home, an institution for children aged 6 to 15 who need a stable group home experience. Mrs. Stassel gives her time there because she knows that troubled children need extra care and attention. And she works hard also to bring the needs of the Native Alaskan people to the forefront in the state legislature. And here is something that she said. Quote, she said, "This I believe, each individual as a child of God has great value. Therefore, each one with a special need must be listened to actively and with empathy. To such persons, I hope to make myself available." Someone asked her why she didn't get a paying job instead of just simply giving herself away. Her reply was interesting. She says, "I'm not in the labor market because what I want to give doesn't draw a salary." That's devotion. In our church needs devotion as much as it needs money. But back to the scripture for a moment. The passage not only included the poor widow's story, but it also spoke the words of Jesus before his visit to the temple. He warned his audience to be aware of, as he called it, scribes who devour widows' houses. Now, exactly how the scribes were able to deprive widows of their property is not really stated. But we know that people throughout history used the law to make unreasonable profits at the expense of others. And we know about things like foreclosures and share sales, and we're seeing very much today that it comes in elder abuse as well. That there are sometimes always people who are out there scheming and scamming to devour houses and savings of anyone they can. And we as God's people need to be aware and to speak up against that. Because it's also no accident that Mark placed these warnings from Jesus immediately before the story of the poor widow. She may have been one of those who had fallen victim to some unscrupulous scribe. She may have lost all the property that her late husband had left to her. And if that was the case, she didn't let her victim status keep her from being a giver. You know, I can well imagine that there could have been some people at that time who said things like, "Well, you know, I can't give anything to the temple this year because, you know, well, I've lost too much in my investments," or, "I really took a hit last year in the stock market," or, "Gosh, my business isn't doing very well this year. And, you know, I was one of those who got involved in the Wells Fargo scandal and the bank ripped me off." And, you know, the widow didn't do any of that. She refused to say, "I have been a victim." She didn't need that excuse. It was reasonable as it might have been. No, she came and she gave. Finally, there's one other thing to notice about the story, and that's where Mark places it in his gospel. This is the very last event that Mark reports in Jesus' public ministry. The gospel account continues from here, but the rest of the conversations that Jesus has are with his disciples. Mark closes this section of Jesus' public ministry with Jesus' words of praise for the widow. She has put in everything that she has. You know, that's a powerful statement of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus was not praising poverty, nor was he saying that everyone should contribute everything they have. He was praising the attitude that comes in a trust of God that says, I recognize my emptiness, but I give what I can anyway. And then I come to you in trust, O Lord, to be filled. You know, this incident took place in the final week of Jesus' life. He visited the temple and he saw the widow make her gift, probably maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and Friday he dies on the cross. Now, Jesus clearly knew what was facing him when he was going to Jerusalem and what was going to happen there. And that certainly must have weighed heavily on him. And you can almost picture him wearily just sort of sitting near the temple treasury, perhaps wondering about the goodness in the human heart. And when he saw what the widow did, maybe it cheered him a little. He saw a lot of people putting money in the treasury. Some gave large amounts, some gave smaller, but most were trying probably to be faithful and were giving their gifts as acts of worship. And then he saw the widow drop in two coins. And perhaps the sight of that devotion was one of the things that encouraged Jesus in the last hours before the cross. Finally, there's an old story told from the days when the church used to subscribe their budget in the public worship on Sunday morning. This morning after church, it was interesting, someone told me that he grew up in a community that published what people gave in the newspaper, so the entire city could see it. And there were churches were known to at the end of the year, put a list out front. But this church started to subscribe the budget in the worship service. So the pastor stood up and he says, is there anybody here who can pledge $1,000? And so those people that could stood up and everybody applauded, and the secretary wrote down their name. And then he said, is there anyone who can subscribe $900? And a few more people stood up, and the secretary took down their name, and the congregation applauded. And so it continued until the figure got to the very lowest amount. And by then, almost everybody that was in church that day had pledged something. And so as the preacher was about ready to draw to a close the worship service, there was an old woman in the congregation who was known to have absolutely almost nothing to her name. And she walked down the aisle and she placed a few dollars in the pastor's hand, and then she returned to her seat. There was no applause. But when the pastor looked at the money, he knew that she had given all that she had, and finally he said to the congregation that was assembled, I think I hear the applause of nail-scarred hands. You see, the devotion of that woman, like the devotion of the poor woman in the temple, is a worthy gift. And we should each, according to what God has given us, emulate that spirit and that attitude. And for some of us, it will mean giving substantial financial gifts. For others, not so much. But for all, it should involve in some meaningful and possibly costly way a giving of ourselves. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, you have so richly blessed us. We live in a land of plenty. And so we ask that you give us those hearts of thankfulness, that you enable us with a devotion to give of ourselves to your church and to the work of your kingdom. Bless the offerings that we bring each week, and may you use them to further the work of your church in this place. And may, as we bring our gifts each week, may we rejoice and give thanks that you've given us the ability to do so, and continue to bless us and bless our church with your presence and with the gift of your people as we give to you ourselves. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.